All right, good morning, everybody. We're going to get started. This is week three of Building Healthy Relationships. I'm excited to have you here. We've already heard from Pastor Damesworth, and Sister Jessica taught a great class last week on communication. I think the exciting thing about this is a pathway that we are really setting some foundations. This is the spring semester. We're going to have a summer and a fall semester of this pathway. At the same time, there's three other pathways going on covering different topics. If you have not listened, you can. All of these are being recorded, so you can listen to them online. There is a post on Realm, and the actual links are on our website, so you can go there and listen to all the other classes that you're not attending. If you've heard some great things about, I know Sister Patricia is teaching a great one about forgiveness, so highly encourage you to go listen to those. But go listen to the other lessons that people have taught. Everyone's put a lot of work into the material that they've created and presenting to everybody, so this is an exciting time. Today, I am going to be talking about understanding conflict. Who likes conflict? Yeah. I know you like conflict, but other than Brother David, who likes conflict? Conflict is a really difficult thing, and I think we view it as, you know, that's a negative thing and it's bad, but it's a very healthy thing when you deal with conflict and grow through that. So conflict is an unavoidable part of life, whether in our families, our workplaces, or church, or friendships. We will face moments of tension and disagreement. As Christians, we are often tempted to avoid conflict, believing that peace means never confronting issues. However, the Bible shows us that conflict, when handled correctly, can lead to growth, healing, better communication, and stronger relationships. Jesus himself faced conflict. He corrected the Pharisees, he challenged injustice, and even confronted his disciples when they misunderstood his mission. Conflict is not inherently sinful. Rather, it reveals our character, our priorities, and emotional responses. Our goal as believers is not to eliminate conflict, but to navigate it in a way that reflects Christ's love, truth, and wisdom. Acknowledging conflict requires humility and self-examination. We must ask ourselves, what is truly at the root of this conflict? Is it a misunderstanding, a personal wound, a power struggle, jealousy, or difference in values? Identifying the source of tension allows us to address it with clarity rather than reacting out of emotion. The way we handle conflict matters. Scripture calls us to speak the truth in love, to be slow to anger, and to live at peace with everyone as far as it depends on you. This does not mean we avoid conflict, but rather we approach it with wisdom, patience, and a desire for restoration. I'm going to pray before we start our lesson, mostly for me, but you guys can be part of it too. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the health and the provision that you provided for everyone. Thank you for everyone that's in this room today, for all the lessons happening on this campus, that everyone is getting, hearing your word, will be encouraged and lifted up today. Lord, that you are planting seeds that we can grow and water and make us better Christians and to share your love with others. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to talk about five types of conflict today. I'm going to go through these five types. We're going to talk about how to identify them, some healthy ways to handle them, and a couple of discussion questions for each one of these types. So the first one is miscommunication and misunderstanding. This is one that I deal with a lot. I tend to, not with my husband, no. Usually not with him. No, not at all. I will say, we 25 years of marriage, we have a very, very healthy relationship. We're good at talking about very hard things. Rarely have encountered most of these topics. So what is miscommunication, misunderstanding? This type of conflict occurs when people interpret words, actions, or situations differently due to unclear communication, that would be me, assumptions, or lack of information. Some common causes are poor listening. So Sister Moss's lesson from last week, poor listening, unclear expectations. That's something that I have a problem with is not always laying out my expectations. Differing perspectives or jumping to conclusions. And a biblical example of this is Martha and Mary when Jesus was ministering in their house and Martha was in there cooking and getting everything ready for her guests and Mary was listening at the feet of Jesus. Nothing was sinful about that. Martha was doing one thing and she was expecting Mary. She didn't really communicate that. She, you know, confronted Jesus about it. And so that was definitely a miscommunication and probably misunderstanding. Some questions to identify this kind of a conflict. Did I communicate my expectations? Did I assume they knew my expectations? Have I considered the other person's intent before reacting? That's something that I'm like, oh wait, what would, how are they perceiving this? I think understanding where the other person is coming from a lot of times can help in how you're reacting to the situation. Is this conflict happening because we perceive the same event differently? We are all different people. We all have different backgrounds, different upbringings, different things that we've gone through. So the way that Sister Pam would handle a situation might be different than the way that I would handle it. We're going to get there the same way, but am I misunderstanding her intent in doing that? Some healthy ways to deal with this kind of conflict. Understand the expectations from both sides of the conflict. So not just my expectations, but what are Sister Jessica's expectations from this situation? Respect the other person's perspective without trying to change them. I think that's something that people struggle with, is going, it has to be my way. Or, oh, you're wrong, you need to go along and do it my way, instead of understanding why they have that kind of a perception and go, trying to go to get to a solution, understanding that, how they're viewing it. And decide when to compromise and when to stand firm on your understanding. You don't have to just roll over and go, okay, you're right, oh, you're right. But say, hey, what if we do this together? So there are ways that you can solve it. It's not always about your way or their way, but there is compromise is a very healthy way to work through this situation. So here's a couple of discussion questions. Can you think of a time when you misinterpreted someone's words or actions? And how did it impact the situation? Does anybody want to share a thought that comes to mind? When you've misinterpreted someone's words or actions? What are some things that you can do to clarify intent before reacting? This is a pretty easy one, I think, about trying to clarify. What's a way that you can approach somebody to clarify their intent before you react?
Ask questions.
I mean, I think saying, this is how I'm understanding it. Is that what you're meaning?
So like saying their words back to them, like when you're hearing, when you're doing active listening?
Yes.
I would say make sure you're in a clear headspace, especially when you have a kid. And if you're dealing with pop-up and you hear a kid, you know, personally, your anger is nothing. But if you can interrupt, you know, me, as in my situation, being a single mom, is like, there's three kids, all different personalities are coming at you at once. But if I can stay, I need to take space to figure my headspace out and then approach the situation.
So pause, yes. And like really understand, yes, what's happening in the situation instead of reacting.
Yeah. It doesn't say I'm a perfect person, obviously, but there's a lot going on all the time.
Well, with three yeah, kids, you have a lot of things happen. Yeah. Plus your own things that you have going on in your life.
Sometimes one is overbearing more than the other. It's like one feels pushed away when the other one doesn't feel heard. So it's a lot. But if you're in the right headspace, I think you're able to handle it better.
Yeah. That's good. Paul?
I have found out a text message sometimes is not the best way of communication, because you can't hear the tone.
Yeah.
And you don't know really what somebody means. And I have misinterpreted things before. When I talked to the person and found out that the way that I was reading it in their tone was totally, totally different.
For sure.
Yeah, and I've actually got upset when I shouldn't have got upset, because I hadn't heard the voice yet. I hadn't heard the tone.
So watch.
Richard, brother.
So watch the forms of the forms, yeah, of communication, for sure. Yes. I know my teen sex are, they're like, why did you put a period there? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I don't, yeah, know that means something. It means, yeah, something to them, though. So even generationally, how we interpret things, I think, is also, we have a very diverse church and generation, and I think it's great, but there is miscommunication how one generation interprets it versus something else. Yeah.
I think what David said about asking questions, if you all recall, like when you were in school and you were in a classroom setting, there were a lot of kids who seemed to be very afraid to ask a question because it would make them appear, you know, like they're less than the rest of the students. And I guess the lesson from that is, yes, it might make you feel uncomfortable to ask the question, but in the long run, it's going to, I think it's, you would probably appear less, I'm going to use the word stupid, I know that's a bad word to a lot of people, but you'll appear less stupid if you ask that question than if you go out without understanding and you start stumbling through whatever is being asked. So like when you're at a team meeting, if you're at work and you have team meetings, I have so many times where a conversation is happening, and at the end of the conversation, I'll say, can somebody restate all of that in a clear way so that we all are on the same page? Because it just went 40 different directions, and everybody's going to have a different interpretation of it. So, yeah, I think the question thing is so, so key. And even like in a relationship conflict, just asking that question, you know, if you're seem to be upset with the other person, just asking that question, like Jessica said, here's what I took from that. I'm not sure if that's what you meant by this.
Right.
And it's giving them a chance to clarify. So questions are great.
Excellent. All right. All right, we're going to move on to our second type is personal offense or betrayal. This is a hard one because I think we've all been in this position. This occurs when someone feels personally wronged, betrayed, or disrespected, whether intentionally or unintentionally. I think that's a hard thing to, we always think it's always intentionally, but maybe it's unintentionally. The common causes are jealousy, unmet expectations, broken trust, or perceived rejection. My biblical example for this is Joseph and his brothers. Joseph was, his brothers, well, first of all, they were jealous of him. We're going to get to that later, but they were jealous of him. They threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. He was in Potiphar's house. He was wrongly accused. He was thrown in jail. Like, all these things happened. Lifted up. Obviously, we know about Pharaoh's dream. He was lifted up, got to save the people of Egypt. It wasn't until 20 years later when his brothers come walking down the street. Can you imagine the aha moment going, oh, that's the, you know, that light bulb moment. I'm like, 20 years have passed. I'm sure he's like, you know, upset. Obviously, he's been betrayed. He's hurt. His, he loves his family. He doesn't understand why he's gone through all this. They walk into town and he's like, I have food. That's my family is still alive. And to me, that's a light bulb moment going, oh, I get it. So was it intentional on their part? Yes. But did God use it for a purpose? Yes. I think that's amazing. So some questions about this kind of a conflict. Do I feel personally wronged or rejected or betrayal? So you stop for a moment and just think about this. Pausing in any of these situations is always the key. Am I holding on to resentment from a past hurt? I think sometimes we take, when something happens to us in a particular situation, we are triggered by something that happened in our past. And so while that person may not be intending a hurt, something from our past that did hurt us that we know somebody did intend that or it still hurts, we may take that out on somebody else. We may react in a way that isn't healthy or not what they intended at all. Did the other person intend to hurt me, or was this an unintended consequence of their action? Giving them the benefit of the doubt. It's like, this has happened with my husband and I sometimes where we're going through something and he's like, wait a minute, I'm on your side. I didn't actually mean it that way. And so I can pause and go, okay, wait, yes, we're on the same team. We're fighting the same fight, you know, and talk through the situation. Go, okay, well, here's how I felt and here's why. But he can point that out and we can walk through that situation. Instead of me just assuming, oh, why is he hurting my feelings? Why is he trying to make me feel this way? Am I reacting out of emotion rather than responding with wisdom? I know I feel like with today's social media and everyone trying to rage on different platforms on TikTok and Instagram and sharing like, oh my goodness, he did this. And oh my goodness, she cut me off. And this happened. People love to vent because they love, like they want to be a victim. They want people to feel sorry. They want attention. And they use it, you know, for attention seeking things. But if you just pause and think, eh, am I reacting out of emotion because I want someone to respond to me? Or what's the wise thing? What's the wise way to approach this? Some healthy ways to deal with this kind of a conflict. Acknowledge feelings of jealousy and refocus on personal growth. Man, she got that promotion and I really wanted it and I'm really jealous of that. I can pause and go, I can be jealous for a second, then go, you know what? If I wanted that, what could I have done? What does she have that I didn't have? Maybe I should be working on some skills. Maybe I didn't earn that promotion. Just because I want it doesn't mean I deserve it. Or if I really felt like I deserve it, maybe that's not the place for me, and go move on to somewhere else. So there's different ways that you can deal with situations like this. Examine the intent. Did they really try to hurt me? And if they did, then that's a different conversation to have with that person. Celebrate the other person's successes rather than seeing them as threats. My best friend is in Illinois, and she got this huge bonus a few months ago. And I was like, that is amazing. I'm so happy for you. I want her to be prosperous. I want my brothers and sisters. I want to celebrate job promotions. I want to celebrate when something amazing happens to you, get a new car, and whatever's happening in your life, someone gets married, someone has a baby. Those are things to celebrate. Why would I be jealous? I want you to be successful. I want to see you grow as Christians. I don't want to be jealous. And like, if I want those things, then maybe there's things that I should be doing in my life to achieve those things. If I'm jealous of your marriage, I should work on my marriage. Don't, you know, look at someone's situation and instead of like diminishing it, going, I wish I had that. Must be nice. I've heard those comments recently of going, must be nice you got to do that. Celebrate that person because they either earned it, they worked hard for it. You don't know what they went through to get that blessing. Redirect competitive energy towards self-improvement and teamwork. So instead of being jealous about things or trying to hurt somebody, work on yourself, work on your team. Try to make yourself better about it. Discussion question. What happens when we let our emotions dictate our responses instead of stepping back? Okay, louder and one at a time.
But it would escalate the whole situation.
Normally. How so?
In a negative way, normally.
Like how? Yeah. You're good. Go ahead, okay. Daniel.
We say things, our emotions catch us, and we say things we don't really mean, and then the person's like, well, maybe they will do that because that's it now. And maybe you're just saying just to hurt them, but you know it's going to hurt them. It's just the whole thing.
For sure. Paul?
Well, the spiritual side of it, when we, if we do hurt somebody, we say something. Even when you come to church on Wednesday or be a Sunday or any time, you feel different. It changes the way you feel. So when I see that, it's what happens. You know, it just, the job interview recently, they asked me about how I treated other people and stuff and what I would do in this situation. But in that situation, I said, you know, it bothers me to hurt people. You know, that if I say something and I hurt a coworker, I will go apologize. You know, because after this event, after this is over with, I mean, it makes me feel sick inside. You know, I don't feel right. My worship don't even feel right. You know, in church, I mean, it just makes me feel, I guess this is the way to sum it up, I just feel sick.
Yeah. Also on the spiritual side, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart is like the seat of our emotions. And so when you follow your emotions, emotions are incredibly powerful, obviously. But when you follow your emotions, if you allow that to drive you, you can make some crazy decisions. And I think that's where a lot of times conflicts arise in relationships. In general, I'm saying in general here, women are more emotional creatures and men are more logical creatures. And so I think those two things, you have conflict with that because they're being approached, the topic is being approached from two different angles.
Right.
And so I think it requires both parties to like understand where the other person is coming from. But I think when you view it strictly through an emotional lens, you're allowing your maybe some better judgment to be clouded.
That's where we get into the intent. And that's where you get to two different perspectives, emotional, logical, how you're approaching it. You're trying to go to the same solution, but you're coming at it from two different ways. Somebody else have something you want to add?
I think when you respond emotionally and it's negative, it discredits your witness. Yeah. And then people aren't going to look at you the same. And you may say something that is really good, or God may tell you to speak to someone and you do that. And then, but in the back of their mind, they remember what you said before. And so they don't believe it.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I think as Christians, we're definitely held to a higher standard. Whether we hold ourselves or someone else holds us, because they can easily go, oh, wait, I thought you were a Christian, or you did that. So I think it's not necessarily a realistic expectation, but I think it's out there and something to be considered. If you are trying to witness and be, you know, share something, keeping those things in check and realizing, okay, hold on a second, pause again, always pause. That's really, there's five takeaways later. That's one of them. Just pause and think. Okay, let's see. Oh, we're going to speed this up a little bit. Number three, power struggles or leadership conflict. This occurs when people vie for control, authority, or influence in a situation. Some of these causes are pride, insecurity, differing leadership styles, or feeling unappreciated. An example of this is Moses and Korah's rebellion. This is Korah was part of the house of Levi. They were part of the tabernacle. They got to be in the tabernacle and work in the tabernacle. They thought they should be the priest. And why does Moses get to be so high and mighty? And so there was this rebellion. There was pride going on. There was, you know, they just wanted more out of it. And God split the earth and swallowed them up. So don't do that. No. Oops. Okay. Oh, I did that. Some questions to identify this kind of a conflict. Do I feel like my authority, role, or status is being challenged? This is teamwork. This is family dynamics. So this is as a parent. This is as husband and wife. This is, you know, obviously in leadership and ministry at your workplace. Is this about the issue at hand, or is it about control? You could be having something going on, but maybe someone's trying to get some wins so they can take control over a situation. Kids are a great point in that. Am I making decisions based on pride or wisdom? That's something to really consider. Are both sides actually working towards the same goal but disagreeing on the method? I think that's a very easy way of, you think they're trying to take control of it, but they're really just trying to get there in a different way. Chris and I approach things very differently, but we're still trying to get to the same goal. He's very logical and organized. I'm more of the people-y, and let's just get something done. I don't want to wait for all the processes to be put in place. But we're a good balance of that. So we're trying to get to the same solution. No power struggle there, but it's like, it doesn't have to be always my way or always his way. Go on. Healthy ways to confront and deal with this kind of a conflict. Recognize when pride is at play and choose humility. It's a hard thing to do sometimes, to really pause and think, wait, is this really my pride in the way, or is there a better way I can handle the situation? Clearly define roles and responsibilities to prevent power struggles. So delineate, this is what you're doing, this is what I'm doing. Those are your expectations. That'll help get rid of a lot of that kind of a conflict. Focus on collaboration rather than control. We'll do one of these questions. How can we balance standing firm in leadership while remaining open to other people's perspective? So whether you're a parent, you're in a work situation, teamwork or something, what's a way that you can stand firm as being the leader, but also be open to hearing other people's perspectives?
A lot of times in leadership, if you're not open to other people's perspectives, you're going to get very narrow-minded. And so, like, if you're leading a work group or a youth group or whatever you're leading, if you don't hear their feedback and pay attention to that, then your leadership role, in their eyes, you're not going to be as much of a leader. They're not going to look up to you as much because you're not taking into account their feelings. And, you know, usually it's the people that are doing those day-to-day things that have, you know, the real perspective that leaders can use, right. I think.
And they may tend to shut themselves off, going, oh, he's not going to listen anyway.
Yeah.
So anything else? I think inviting feedback on things is, it's a hard thing as a leader to ask people, say, well, what do you think about this? Or how can I improve this? I think because as a leader, you think I've got this, you want the perception that you've got it all under control. You know how to handle it. But Pastor is an amazing example of this, where he says from the pulpit, he surrounds himself with people who are smarter than him, that can do other things that he can't do because he knows he can't do it all. It takes a lot of people to be successful to reach the goal that we're trying to achieve here at Christian Life Center. So I think being open to having people who have a different perspective, who want to add to your team, and not having to be just be the hammer and knock everybody out going, it's my way or no way.
I think this also goes back to, like, earlier you were talking about expectations. And I think as a leader, it's easy to start to maybe misjudge somebody's intention whenever they're asking questions. So I think back about when I was a kid, I was very much a question asker when it came to things that people in authority would tell me. And my personality is, I want to know why. I want to know why we're doing it. And if you can explain to me why, I'm all in. I'm all in. And so this was a common thing with me and my dad. You know, he would demand something, and I'm sitting there going, why are you asking me to do this?
Because I said so.
Right? And it was just because I said so. And that's how it was perceived to me. if I could understand his expectation, it wasn't about necessarily that I was challenging him, like, you have no right to tell me this, but I just didn't understand the expectation. A great example would be, like, take out the garbage. His expectation was do it right this second. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm in the middle of reading a chapter. Can I just, I'm going to finish this chapter and then I'll do it. And so in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to do it. But I just, you didn't tell me you wanted it done right now. And so I wasn't challenging his authority necessarily. It's just our expectations were out of line. So I think a lot of this time, from a leadership perspective, if we're not clearly defining expectations and people start asking questions, we can start then thinking, they're trying to challenge my authority. I just told them what to do. But they just maybe don't understand the expectations.
Or if you're trying to challenge authority and going, wait a minute, have they not laid out expectations for me? I think I'm talking about this a lot from, like, if you're the leader, but what if you're trying to work with a leader?
Yeah.
And think about it that way, going, if they're not laying out clear expectations, you don't know what to go on. You know, maybe you feel like you need to challenge the authority because nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's a strange. If I just say something really quick, I like to say it. I like what Brother Chris had to say. I can relate to that 100%. Because there have been many times in leadership and helping a church in different places, so on, workplace or whatever, that I've been given jobs, I've been told to do things, and I'm okay with doing it. I don't have a problem with submitting to authority, somebody's trying to help me or wants me to do something. But I've had a problem with, okay, well, I need to explain to me why. You know, if you'll explain to me why, what is our goal here? Yeah, I agree with Brother Chris. I'm in with both feet. Let's get the ground running. But often I've got stuck sometimes in one spot because I felt like somebody was just standing over me, giving me jobs. You know, and somebody was just saying, okay, do this. And I felt it's just because that you said so, you know. But somebody would take the time to explain to me why we're doing this. And like I said, the goal, you know, I approach things just totally, totally different.
Definitely. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing. All right, our fourth type of conflict, jealousy and competition. No one's ever felt jealous, so we're good here. This occurs when a person perceives another person's success or position as a threat, leading to envy or rivalry. Some common causes are insecurity, comparison, fear of being replaced, or lack of contentment. Example of this is Saul and David, where Saul was the king, he was anointed, and he messed up, and he wasn't anointed anymore. David became anointed as king, and he still took a while. Saul was after him, tried to kill him, chase him through the countryside, threw spears at him, all sorts of things. What I don't have on here, what I think is interesting, is that his son had the complete opposite approach, where he could have been jealous, like, I was kind of hoping I was going to be king next. Instead, he understood God's plan. He's like, man, my dad messed up, and he's not, you know, his witness is not doing him any credit. You're the right guy for the job. So he was supportive of that. So I think that's just nice. David's kind of sandwiched in that contrast there. Some questions to identify this kind of a conflict. Do I feel like someone else's success diminishes me? Is this rooted in insecurity or comparison? Again, pausing and thinking about these questions. Am I motivated by competition rather than collaboration? Am I trying to get ahead? And am I trying to, like, oh, you know, there's this, I think guys do, maybe not just guys, where you have this one-upmanship where you're telling a story and, like, oh, I went out and I went fishing and I got this kind of fish. Oh, well, I remember when I went fishing with Paul and we got this kind of, like, you want one up. It's a competition. You feel like for some reason you have to be the victor in something. Do I see the other person as an opponent instead of a teammate? I think, you know, pastors talked about this. One of our core values is, you know, one faith, one family. We're not going to always agree. But are we in competition? Or are we all trying to do something together? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Some healthy ways to confront and deal with this kind of a conflict. Acknowledge feelings of jealousy and refocus on personal growth. I'm copying this, by the way, from the first two are from the previous one because they fit so nicely. Celebrate other successes rather than seeing them as threats. Choose forgiveness over bitterness while setting healthy boundaries. If you're around somebody and you're like, and it really is a struggle for you, set some healthy boundaries to where you're like, I know how I feel when I'm around that person. I need to make sure I limit what kind of interaction I have so I can grow as a person. There's nothing wrong with your personal growth in that. Instead of just having to be all in and being connected with that person, if it's creating feelings in you, it's okay to pause or just say, hey, you're my friend. We're going through the situation. I just want to let you know I need to take a break right now. I'm dealing with some things that I need to deal with. That's personal growth instead of just hurting yourself over and over or affecting that friendship or relationship. Communicate openly about the offense, how the offense affected you. That's a hard thing, but again, open communication. Talk with somebody. Sit down and say, this really bothered me when this happened, and I just need to share this with you because I need to work through this, and I don't know if you understood the way you said that to me. That really affected me, so I want you to be aware of that so you don't do it again. Seek reconciliation if trust can be rebuilt. If not, move forward with grace. So you don't have to go on vacation with the person if you've been offended, if you've been jealous, or you feel like they've been jealous against you about something. Talk through something and then go, hey, we're just going to coexist now. And you have healthy boundaries. You can wave to somebody. You can smile at them. But you don't have to go on vacation and be their best friend over everything. Discussion question. How can we shift our mindset from competition to encouragement? So instead of being in competition with somebody where we're like, you work with somebody instead of like them being your competition too, for promotions, for whatever, you want to encourage them. How can we get away from having the mindset of being jealous and competitive to moving forward and working together as a team?
It's a strange event. Several years ago, the company I worked for in Bristol for 13 years, and they tried to come up with a way that they could weld aluminum together and not have to use like an old timey way. I'm trying to confuse everybody, but we got a machine called a cold stamping machine. And we want to get away from that. They thought it transformers for the last more. Well, they send their material out to engineering, all kinds of places, different things and so on. Nobody could come up with a way to do it. So myself, a couple other people, the plant got together. We come up with a way to weld this material together. And well, it caused, you know, a lot of problem in the workplace because a lot of people felt like they were left out. They thought it was a bad idea. And they didn't want to come on board with us with our new way, you know, building these things. They kept going back and using the old way. They would sneak and they would do things, you know, that we were asked not to do. And so I don't know. I think sometimes including other people, you know, and not just doing things with three when there could be 10, you know, sometimes, even though everybody may not have the best idea, you know, but yet make them feel like they're a part of it anyway. You know, I think sometimes that can help bring unity. That can help encourage people.
I think from a spiritual perspective, if you are encouraging somebody and trying to, like, you want their success, God's gonna take care of you. Like, it's okay if you guys are, if you're working together and you encourage them, and maybe you guys don't get along very well. You know, the Bible says, pray for your enemies, pray for those who use you. Celebrate their successes. Let them, you know, feel, maybe it's like kind of what you're saying. Maybe there's a way to let someone else feel like they're taking, it's their idea. Maybe it's your idea. My husband does this a lot in his work where they're going through he's a graphic designer and he works with other designers. And he may have this really great idea, but he positions it in a way like, oh, remember when you had that idea about this? And it makes them feel like they were part of the whole process. It encourages them and maybe it gives them confidence to pursue things and to contribute more down the road.
I think that mindset of competition is, and I'm not saying all competition is this way, but I think the way we're referencing it here is a sign of selfishness, because what you are focused on is me like the way you are, you know, your success or whatever. So you're focused on, why don't I have that? And I think whenever you shift away from that and you can focus on, you know, the world around you, you can be happy for somebody else doing that. It's a sign of being healthy in yourself and where you're at in life. I think whenever we can have a better mindset in terms of like where we are and what we have and being grateful for what we have, you tend to be less selfish, of course, with that.
Yep.
And that means you don't view those things through the lens of, why not me?
Definitely. All right, and our last one is different priorities or values. Nothing wrong with this one. Sometimes you just have different way you're going. This occurs when two people or groups have differing priorities, goals, or values that create tension. Some common causes are differing beliefs, personal preferences, cultural differences, or mismatched expectations. For me, both of my high school students are, one's in drama and one's in band. I'm around a lot of people who aren't necessarily Christians, who just have different perspectives, different beliefs. But we're all kind of in this, our kids are doing the same thing together. And so we have to get along and solve problems together. Example of this is Paul and Barnabas where they're going to go out and go on the second ministry, and Barnabas wants to bring along his cousin, John Mark, and Paul's like, no, 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 we did that before, and that didn't go so well. And so they just had a different way they were approaching it, and eventually Paul took Silas, and Barnabas took his cousin, and they went off, and again, both were successful. Some questions to identify this kind of a conflict. Are we disagreeing because we have fundamentally different values or priorities? So just understanding that. Is there a disagreement just because no matter, we can have a discussion of, where, you know, I use the Bible as kind of my standard. If they don't use that as a standard, we already have different priorities. We're not going to have the same kind of conversation. So I can't approach something as a Christian if we're not even on the same playing field to start with. Is this a matter of right and wrong or just different perspective? Am I trying to impose my way instead of seeking compromise? How can I communicate my perspective without dismissing theirs? There's nothing wrong with sharing how you feel about something. You don't have to go, oh, no, it doesn't matter. Oh, I apologize. I didn't mean to say that. It's okay to say how you feel, what you think about a situation. There's nothing wrong with that. You have your values. You have a reason. You may bring up something that somebody else has never considered, so share those things. But you don't have to just be dismissive of others or have others dismiss you. Some healthy ways to confront and deal with this kind of a conflict. Practice active listening and clarify misunderstanding before reacting. So listen, what Jessica was saying earlier, listen, say it back. Is this what I'm understanding you to say? Did you really mean to call me that name? Like, just call them out on, like, is this really what you meant? So that way they hear their words back and go, oh, that's not what I meant at all. Or, yeah, I think you're stuck up. Oh, okay. But you at least know now. There's no, it's very clear. Use I statements to express concerns without blaming. See, if it's really bad, seek a neutral third party to mediate if necessary. Discussion question. We'll just do the last one. How do we navigate relationships when values or priorities don't align? So think about your work, even with kids. Sometimes their values and priorities are not what my values and priorities are. They're their own person, and I'm finding that out. My last two teenagers, and they do things that I don't necessarily agree with or want for them, but we talk things through, and I understand their perspective, and then they understand my perspective of why it may not be a good thing for them or why it is a good thing for them to do something. So ways to navigate would be discussion. Obviously, talking about the hard situation. We've had a lot of hard conversations with our kids about things that they've dealt with in high school. I'd rather have those conversations, shed a few tears, and then work together towards a solution than just go, not deal with the situation.
I think finding common ground is a good way to do this. I know it's easier said than done sometimes, especially like what you were saying. So you're coming at it from a Christian perspective and somebody is an atheist. It's hard to but maybe you have to set that aside for a little bit. Like, what do we have in common? What thing can we agree on? And then sort of go from there. Because a lot of times in this, it's going to be compromised for both sides. I'm not talking about compromising faith. I'm talking about if you're dealing with a, non-spiritual confrontation. But yeah, I think ultimately in all of this, the thing that keeps coming back to me is that conflict is not necessarily, and you said FBA, is not necessarily a bad thing. I think of so many examples in nature where conflict leads to great outcomes. And I think even whenever it comes with dealing with teens, when you can face the conflict head on, and we have a channel director team full of vastly different personalities, and we don't always agree on things, but when we just face it head on and have the discussion, we can come to a better solution than if just one person was doing it by themselves. So I think embracing the conflict is a good thing, respectfully, embracing the conflict and kind of going at it. To me, whenever I see two people in conflict, that's a sign that there's two passionate people that have just, a different opinion of how to get, the same thing accomplished. And if you can put those two people's heads together,
right,
you tend to get...
Because you're bringing the richness of the different perspectives and all the life experiences that they're bringing to that situation. They're going to identify something that you have not thought of. And then to wrap it all up, this just goes across all of the things that we've discussed today, kind of what Chris was talking about. The first thing to do, we're going to think, just stop and pause and think about the situations. I don't know what that little B is afterwards. I'll fix the typo. But you just pause and think. That's going to stop so many things when you just slow down and think for the moment and go, what was the intent? What was going on? He said this. She said that. Wait, she did this to me. Did that really happen? I'm hearing some gossip about this. Like, really think about the situation. Communication is key. Thank you for Jessica for teaching us how to do that last week. Clarify the intent. Listen actively. Avoid assumptions. Emotional regulation. Separate emotions from the issue at hand. Can you pull aside what Chris was talking about earlier? Is, you know, the heart is deceitful. You want to jump to conclusions. We're all selfish. We all, like, must be about me. They must be trying to hurt me. I want this. Pause and get rid of the emotion part of things. Pause that stuff and go, what is really happening here? What is the factual stuff that's happening? And start walking through that to work on growth, to work on figuring out the situation. Perspective. How does the other person see the situation? What do you know about that person? They may be reacting in a particular way. Understand who you're dealing with. Maybe you know they have past hurts. Maybe you know you don't know anything about them. So you're like, I know zero about them. Why would they be coming at me like this? And so you need to come out with them with a different perspective. And grace and wisdom. That's what we're called to have, is God has given us so much grace. And the Bible has just volumes about wisdom, about keeping your mouth shut. A fool speaks and lets everyone know that he's a fool. Have wisdom, have grace for the people that you're dealing with, for your kids, for your spouse, for your pastor. Have grace, have wisdom in dealing with all those situations. I only have 3 minutes for questions. Sorry. But does anybody have any questions or comments that they want to add to what we've covered? I know it was a lot, but I felt like I think conflict. So this is not a comfort area for me. I don't do well with conflict. I don't have a lot of, I avoid it. I just don't deal with it. So I really challenge myself to walk through this stuff, to understand it, because I want to be a better spouse, a better parent, a better person at my work. So is there any other comments about what we covered today, or situation, or something you want to talk about?
Sister Angie, I don't want to sound like I'm just recapping stuff that somebody else said, but a lot of things that people said today in your class and stuff has spoke directly into me. If it's not spoken to anybody else, because there's a lot of things you talked about here that I've had problems with in the past, because I want to get better at ministry. I want to get better at helping people, you know, and there's been times that I have felt like that. I could not get where I needed to be or where God wanted me to be. I felt stuck in place because I really was taught at a young age that if you want to get anywhere in life, you got to get out there and get it yourself. Well, that's the biggest lie, you know. I just like to say that I really just appreciate the classes.
Thank you.
And the help that we have here at CIC.
That's true. This is very, very much a practical application stuff. You know, obviously there's biblical. The great thing is that I was like, as I was doing this, I was like, oh, you know, I was finding other stories, you know, Cain and Abel and, you know, Jesus. And I had Adam and God walking in the garden. Like, I had all these ideas and like stories of, oh my goodness, that's this kind of example. That's this kind of example. I love the Bible gives us examples to learn from and deal with. It's not always just the story itself, but there's so many layers to it. So learning communication, learning about conflict, learning about different things. I think next week, your brother Daniel will be wrapping all this up, talking about boundaries. So, you know, you can just your biblical studies, you can approach it with different perspectives of the conflicts that are happening and study that out. And there's so many things to, it's amazing. I love God's word. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming to class. And we'll see you at 11 o'clock.